Today's reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kind of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Let's have a small word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once more for allowing us to be gathered in your name. We thank you so much for this wonderful book of instructions that you kept in our hands as a testimony of your message for us and how to keep always in the right path. We ask you to open our hearts and minds today once more and bless our pastor and let the Holy Spirit direct his tongue as he's addressing today's message titled Godlessness in Our Days. Let it be another occasion for us to strengthen our faith in you and keep strong in our commitment and our daily struggle as we go back in this world and fight the good fight, all this for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Just 1 week ago today, about 150 people went to First Baptist Church in Illinois to worship God and pray. Few minutes later, a man walked in and went toward the pastor who was preaching, pulled out a gun and fired 4 shots. The 4th bullet hit the Bible that the pastor was holding in front of him and shredded it like confetti and hit the pastor in the chest, killing him. I thought about this picture, holding the Bible and the bullet hitting the Bible. And I said, it is big tragedy. It is terrible. But on the other hand, what a better way for a pastor to die holding a Bible and then dying while preaching. And yet, we realize what kind of a world we are living in. Why? Why a man of God who came to a small congregation of 32 persons in 1987 and helped it increase to 1,200 people be killed in such a violent way? The way I will answer this why will be with another why. Why? why the Son of God, who came to this world with so few true believers then, and helped, healed, and fed thousands of people, was killed by a mob. Why? Why is it that thousands of God's people, true Christians, servants are being killed even today? Why? The reason then, and more so today, is godlessness and moral decay. Godlessness without God. The Greek word is atheos or atheismos, without God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, we read, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Chapter 3 starts with a warning. But mark this. The original Greek text is tuto de ginoske. That means, which means, know this. Know this. Not just don't pay any attention, but just remember this. In other words, you must know that it will get worse rather than better. And I'm quoting the Bible. "There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." If you watch television, read the newspaper, or use internet, it is obvious that this prophecy is being fulfilled today. Our leaders are often corrupt. Our cities are filled with crime, brutality, and all kinds of signs proclaiming our sinful, godless world. Religions and their leaders, who claim to be enlightened, the enlightened ones, are some of the most dangerous and influential people in our societies, and yet people blindly follow them and reject God. And you may say, why do you think that religious people are evil, can be without God? Yes, I believe that, and the Bible makes it very clear that there may be, and there are, and there will be, godless priests, and godless pastors, and godless churches, and godless elders, and godless deacons, and godless Christians. Meaning that they will be practicing a faith, a religion, a doctrine, a philosophy, but God will be missing from their worship. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4, Paul writing to Timothy says that terrible times will come. There will be an increase in the following. Moral decay is the first. People will go from bad to worse. They will become self-centered and egotistical. People will be lovers of themselves. In other words, they will be more selfish, self-centered, and self-absorbed. For example, clothing that makes them look more exciting, more sensual, up-to-date, glamorous, etc. And in some countries now in Europe and even here, they are trying to deal with some of the effects of this problem, which is self-centeredness. As a matter of fact, when I was thinking of the pastor who died, who was killed, and I was saying, what else? And not much later, I heard what happened in Germany. this young man goes and kills quite a few young people. In the States, this man who loses his job figures there is no God, there is no one doing justice, so I'm going to go and avenge myself by killing anyone that comes in front of me and kills people. And these are the big ones that we heard. There are people dying daily. There are people who are imprisoned because of their faith. And this world is becoming a place where you just wonder, where are we going from here? You may say, well, you sound like a doomsday proclaimer, and I'm not. The Bible says, and all the signs around us, the neon lights, if you wish, the warnings are all around us saying that men have lost their direction. Selfish, self-centered, and self-absorbed. Body shape is now becoming something very important to the people. Steroids for the muscles, anorexia, bulimia for slimming down, surgery to correct and change body parts. And again, Quebec is, I believe, the next country trying to deal with anorexia by saying that this shows with the anorexic girls who come should be dealt with, or at least. And why is this? Because God is missing from our lives, and because atheism, well, the signs are all around us. And if it wasn't enough that we read it in the papers and saw it in the movies, now they have those big signs on buses saying, we doubt there is God, therefore don't worry and enjoy your life. Well, if there is no God, I'm going to start worrying more than ever before, because God is the one that is holding this globe and this universe together. And if they believe there is no God and they should start enjoying themselves, why are they wasting so much money, I say, on advertisement and trying to convince others that there is no God? Well, because the prince of this world has dealt a terrible blow to the church. The church itself experimented with modernism, with liberalism, with compromising, and this experiment failed. And now, I've mentioned it before and I'll mention it again, and now the results of this experiment have almost destroyed the family unit. There are more divorces. I was just listening the other day. There are more divorces among Christians than those who are of the world. There are more, compromising in the church today, and the church is not even recognized as being a holy place to be. Body accessories, body piercing and tattooing is another thing that preoccupies the minds of the young people and older men and women, because they have nothing else other than their own body, which they have started worshiping. It is this selfishness that causes people to be proud and unholy, traitors and boasters, ungrateful, because everything is inward. Me first, and if I have time, maybe I will think of others' needs, is the attitude of most. Every time you want help, someone to help you, you may have difficulties in finding someone that has the time for you. Every time a church tries to find someone to come and help or join some kind of an activity, they will have a hard time, because people have created for themselves a comfort zone, and they are very comfortable doing nothing or doing something that gives pleasure to the body, and they have no time for God. They have no time for others. Why is that? Because I believe that more and more we have walked away from God, and godlessness has become a way of life for even Christians. But a Christian's attitude should be, or the Christian's attitude should be different. Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You know, it's very easy to say "I love you" to my wife, and "I love you" to Elise or someone else that I love, and I'm either a family member. But it's very difficult to say "I love you" to someone that you don't really care for. And it's very difficult for someone who is very comfortable in his own home or in his own church to care about others outside his family and church. And yet, our faith is based on faith. The Bible says God is love. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." And love means commitment and sacrifice. The way a Christian should live his or her life should be completely different from the way society has been functioning today. We are to love one another. Our standard is Christ for us. Those who reject Christ's standard will become self-centered, the Bible says. If we are the followers of Christ, then we should reflect Him in our daily life. Our self-centeredness must disappear, and the center of our life should become Christ. Disrespectful and rebellious. Those who reject Christ become disrespectful and rebellious. We even meet Christians today who have forgotten that we should respect the elders. We should respect each other. We should love each other. They have become spiritually arrogant and have become selfish and self-centered, and in the name of Christ, and claiming that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they will hurt and destroy others and create problems not only in their own families but in the church. Cruel and abusive. You think Christians cannot be cruel and abusive? But a Christian or someone who claims to be Christian can be as abusive and as cruel as anybody else, because God is missing from his or her life. Stubborn and arrogant. Disloyal and arrogant are some of the effects of turning away from God. First was, as I said, moral decay. And second is spiritual decay. People will have a form of godliness but deny God's power. We've been talking about God's power. What is been misunderstood today is the power that comes from some sort or some source or some kind of activity. And more they seek to find that power in that activity, less they feel the presence of God. Some people think that by jumping up and down and shouting and calling the name of God, they will be connected to God and have that power, but they cannot find it for more than a few minutes while they are emotionally involved in that activity. Others will just leave the society and rise up on a mountain and become hermits and think that they've connected to the spirits of God. Spirits, I said, because that's what they say. And I was invited once to go up on the mountain here for prayer session, and I went with many pastors and priests, a Catholic priest, and they all sat down and no one was saying anything. No one was praying. When I asked the person next to me who was a priest, "What's happening?" He says, "We are meditating." I said, meditating like how? What? He says, "Well, what you have to do, sir, is you empty your mind completely. You sort of forget who you are and you allow the Spirit to come in." I said, "Which Spirit?" And he said, well, whatever spirit wants to come in. And I said, no, that's not a place for me. Because many people think that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, but unfortunately they are filled with another spirit, which is the enemy of God. And they don't realize it because they feel they have power. And in many cases they do have a power. They have the evil power that guides them and directs them to do things that will not praise God or please God. They will take advantage of weak and vulnerable people, the Bible says. And this is in the Bible in those days. You can imagine today, and I have seen this happening on television, when poor, sick people will be taken advantage of. I've seen this in literature. I've received letters and prayer clothes and prayer crosses and prayer beads and prayer, all kinds of things, promising that if you take that piece of cloth and put it on your forehead or put it on your wallet, your money will increase and your bills will be paid. And I say, God has never said that and Christ never promised that. That is godlessness and religion. They will reject the truth. I've mentioned this before. Once I was talking with my mom and my mother, who died a few years ago, and I was trying to explain some kind of a doctrinal thing. She said, please, son, don't confuse me with your details. Just talk to me about the truth. And there is only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And if you remove Christ from the church, there is nothing but religion, which has brought destruction into the lives of many millions, billions. They will reject the truth. They will turn against God's people and leaders. The pastor who was shot was by a man who had turned against a man of God and shot him dead. But he is not the only one. Going back to our faith, to our Lord, they turned against God himself, and Jesus was crucified on the cross. The Jews, while crossing the desert to go to the promised land, they turned their backs to God and created their own gods. Today, I believe, in our time, we have churches and religions who have built their own golden calves and worshiping them. These golden calves could be the church, the doctrine, the choir, the number of people they have, their name, their books, whatever it is. And God has been removed. And people would rather listen to what this man says. They would rather obey the man rather than obeying God. That's what the Bible said will happen. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the last days, in the end times, people will hire themselves, will invite pastors and preachers and teachers who would please their ears, tickle their ears, and they'll feel good. What are you, a homosexual? Well, there's no problem. God loves people. And as long as you love your partner, that's fine. And we have pastors and preachers and priests and churches that are catering to these. What are you, a drug addict? Well, you know what? Take it easy. But God loves you. I know God loves everyone. God loved the prostitute that was brought to Jesus to be stoned. And he forgave her, but told her not to sin any longer. It says, they will corrupt minds. And if you think that the minds of our children and grandchildren and our mothers and fathers and grandparents were not corrupted by religious activists and religious perversions, then you don't know what's going around. And when we talk to the young teenagers, when they come to our men's breakfast and ask them what their problems are, one of the problems they said in the past was and still is that they don't know who they can trust and who they should follow as role models. Well, the minds of the young people are being corrupted by activities that are turning them away from God, and the church should be at work helping them, strengthening them, purifying their mind. You know, when people say to me, "You've been brainwashed," I tell them, "Yes, praise the Lord. God has washed my mind completely." There's nothing wrong in being brainwashed from sinfulness to wonderful purity and truth and love and compassion for others. It says, "But their corruption will be clear to some, but others will follow them to their destruction." Their corruption will be clear to some, but the majority will follow them because it will be pleasing to their ears. They will like what they see. They like what they hear. The sensuality has been brought into the church. There's nothing wrong in some of the things or all the things that God has given us. God has given us everything for our enjoyment and our pleasure, but He also has given us prescription, instructions. When the doctor gives you a prescription and says, "Take this pill once a day," and you say, "Well, if that one is good enough for my health, I'm going to take 10 of them." And that's not going to help you at all. That's going to kill you. Well, that's what is happening with sex. That's what's happening with foods and things like that. God has given us some things to enjoy and some things to do, but He has also given us the rules. He has given us the instructions. Apostle Paul does not say that the world will become better and better until all will be converted and follow Christ. Rather, Paul says the very opposite would be the case. Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. But to Timothy and to the believers, Paul says in verse 14, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Why? Because, and he continues, "Because the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." I've said it so many times, and many of you probably know by now what the name of this book is in Armenian. In Armenian, it's called The Breath of God, Asvazashunj, which means the breath of God. And I love it. It's the breath of God. You close this, put it down, and you have the breath of everybody else. May not be pleasant or may be pleasant, may be good or bad, it doesn't matter. But it's not the breath of God. And it says, Bible says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." That means whatever the Bible says, whatever the Holy Spirit said to you when you made a commitment to Christ, hold on to it. Just because someone else comes and says, "You know, that's fine, that's good, but you can do this, but don't exaggerate, don't do this or don't do that." Don't compromise your faith. Just stand your ground. Apostle Paul advice to Timothy is, and all believers is, "But you keep your head in all situations and your hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, proclaiming the good news." It's not easy. It's not easy when you see the attraction of the world. It's not easy when you see religious groups and activities inviting you to participate and do things or deny things or accept things to know what is right and what is wrong. That is why I believe we must not let the truth go. We must focus on Jesus and follow Christ. Pastor Joseph, Pastor Eugene, Billy Graham, MacArthur, all these great evangelists or preachers are saying something, but God is saying the truth. You must ask for and pray for the spirit of discernment, to discern what comes from the breath of God and what is someone's opinion and idea. We live in a godless world. And that is the truth. People and religions may try to bring peace, to unite, to have one religion great and powerful, but the Bible says that will never happen. Dr. Nuhad was just mentioning this morning that he is reading a book, and we agreed that peace will never come before Christ comes for the second time. This world is where we live. This world is where God has placed us. This world, the way it is for us to work in and live and die. But also God has sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to help us not only survive, but enjoy His creation, enjoy each other, and enjoy what He has given us, and reach out to the world and bring this good news. That's why we say that this Bible is Evangelio in Greek. Now I'm going to go, which is the good news. And is given to us not to keep it as a secret, but to share it with others. May God help us not only survive in this evil world, which is evil and becoming more corrupt, but also become lighthouses wherever we are and reflect Christ in our daily life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for giving us the promise of eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the assurance of our salvation. He who comes to me, you said, I will never reject. And Lord, you also said that your blood will wash away all our sins and will restore us and give us a new life, a new birth. And we thank you for those promises. And these are not only promises, but they are things that happen to everyone that comes to you. Lord, be with us this morning. Guide us, protect us, and give us your spirit, the spirit of discernment, to be able to discern what is right, what comes from you, and what is coming from man. And Lord, convict each one of us. May the Holy Spirit convict us and strengthen us. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.